Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations. Limited time only. Plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
You know, we had some feedback from our last show.
Okay.
Episode 94. More than one person told me or spoke to others and said that I was a little rude to you. Cutting you off, not letting you get picks in, forgetting your existence, really.
Jeff Hawkins.
I'm being trolled right now, aren't I?
Jeff, wait. Wait, I have breaking news coming into the news desk here.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Daniel, have you ever seen a ghost?
Oh, hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you're just as big a part of me leaving as anyone else, because you're the ones sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 in the morning at the airport, you try to shove it in my face, thinking you can get an autograph and sell it on eBay, because you're too lazy to get a real job. CM Punk, happy 6th birthday today to the Pipe Bomb promo. Sasha runs the gauntlet, but is Nia the real hero? The women on SmackDown do Money in the Bank again. And speaking of women, we go over the first episode of Netflix's Glow. Episode 217 of Shake Them Ropes is here, kids. Your host is Rob McCarron. Welcome back, Rob.
Hi, everybody. I'm here. Also, by the way, that CM Punk dude, 6 years since that promo.
Yeah.
I hear he's trying to fight in the UFC. He's never going to fight anybody. Going to happen. And also,
now, Rob, if he were to fight,
yes,
is there some sort of wager you might make?
Oh my, I'd go all out. I'd go all out. This guy ain't fighting. I am 100% confident. I am 100% confident. I would eat the hat off my head.
Oh, really?
If he ever fought in the UFC, that's how confident I am that it's never going to happen. To answer your first question in that, though, yeah, Nia Jax was the real hero. Nia Jax went 30 minutes on Raw in the main event.
Yeah, and she was winded noticeably because she's not asked to go that far.
She's never had to do like 15 minutes before, yeah. Let alone. I mean, how long did the match in London go at Bayley? Did it go 15 minutes?
Oh, no.
I doubt it.
No, and you could tell the way they set up this match was for Nia to crush everybody and then to be so worn down that Sasha gets the win. So to me, they're building up Nia, obviously, and maybe for a face turn against Alexa. They may let Sasha beat Alexa and then get the pin. But I thought Sasha and Nia worked very well together. I thought Sasha was pretty darn good in this match, to be honest with you. And Nia, you know what? She didn't look too bad as the monster that she was supposed to be.
No.
You know, I really enjoyed that gauntlet match.
Not even just as a monster. Like, this goes back to a year ago or 2 years ago at this point, whenever Breaking Ground was on. This goes back to when we were watching Breaking Ground and Nia Jax was super compelling on that show. Like, you didn't know if she was whining for simple stuff. You didn't know if she was just never going to make it because she was going to get hurt or something. Or you didn't know if she was really buying this whole wrestling game. But she's improving all the time. They're doing a lot of multi-man matches. She's not asked to go 15 minutes or so, but she just held her own and then some in 30 minutes in a high-pressure situation, the main event of Raw, in a big city. I mean, that was a big Raw. You had LeVar Ball on there. You had Brock Lesnar on there. This wasn't some run-of-the-mill Raw in Wilkes-Barre. This was Los Angeles, California. And Nia Jax went out there and main evented in the most important match in women's wrestling history.
Los Angeles or Southern California this week, the pro wrestling central, you could say, between Raw, SmackDown, and the two New Japan shows.
It's a big couple of weeks. Big couple of weeks. Nia Jax was great. That was probably the biggest story of this week, right? I mean, part of that story is you have the women's division main eventing Raw in a big time match, 30 minutes. They went 30 again in the first ever Money in the Bank rematch in the women's division. And you're going to have a long match tomorrow night on NXT TV with Asuka and Nikki Cross in the last woman standing. These aren't only, you know, women main eventing a show. It's every show this week and in big, high pressure matches.
And it's very interesting because, I mean, look, my cynicism is what it is. And people who listen to this show probably like it, or they hate listen for my opinions. I don't care either way. You listen. There you go. But all the Monday morning quarterbacking of this is stealing a historical moment. Well, now you're getting it in spades. How do you like them apples? You know, it's not really... I don't think it's Vince doing that. I think Vince does have a vested interest in making this product more well-rounded in some ways, but he's going to do it his way and not the way that you necessarily, I wouldn't say expect, but want. How about that for a statement?
I was, God, this Raw. This Raw.
Let's get to it. Let's get to LeVar Ball.
Yeah, well, not even that yet. Josh Dumel. How do you say his name?
Duhame, I think.
No, it's not that.
Or do you don't say it like Duhamel. It's pronounced.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Duhamel. I honestly should have known this, and I listened to Raw last night. And now I'm freaking out. Like, how do you say this guy's name? Duhamel, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, this guy's doing a WWE Films movie, and he was out there and... I just thought the celebrity cameos, and if you don't think LeVar Ball is a celebrity, he's super culturally relevant right now in sports, at least, especially in Los Angeles where this show was.
Dumel.
Yeah. Well, whatever. He was on announcing and he said, like, this throwaway line, it didn't even matter. A couple of lines, actually, he spewed out there when he was doing guest commentary during the Hardy Boys match. One, he was talking about how the Hardy Boys have been around for 20 years. And I thought that was funny. I mean, it's true, but it's kind of funny. These Hardy Boys, Team Extreme, they're out there in their 40s. They've been around for 20 years. But he had this line about how he just met Vince McMahon backstage. And part of me still thinks that Vince McMahon freaks out when he's referenced like that. He should only be referenced when he's on screen. And it's like, why is this guy talking like I'm here? I shouldn't be here. I'm the boss. I'm a big time celebrity. I think that Vince probably just got a little weird when his name was mentioned in that regard.
See, that's what you took out of that. I told our friend Sean Ross Sapp, who is a big detractor of Tom Phillips on SmackDown for going ooh and ah and oh all the time.
He is no legend like Michael Cole. That's for sure.
You go back and watch this match during this segment. And close your eyes. That's all Michael Cole is doing is the ooh, ah.
Yeah, he's also
going through with it.
It's a different situation, though. He's one of four guys out there talking. Like, he doesn't want to go long-winded. He's like, all these other guys are going to talk. I'm just going to react to the matches.
You know what they should have done instead of doing the fake banters? Just have Corey Graves look at Josh and go, get your plugs in. Let's get because that's all this was.
Tell us
about the differences between acting and directing. Oh, yes, that's what I want to hear from a first. And then he goes, I've never done it before. I'm like, that's right. That's right, counselor. Never ask a question you don't already know the answer to.
He never done it before. He was honest. He wasn't going along with the bullshit. But
LeVar Ball. Oh, my goodness. So your idea was to take a notorious stage dad, fame whore, who wants to take all the glory from his kids pretty much, and give him a live microphone. As I posited, I'd rather give a four-year-old a chainsaw. But it did make a live TV that is far too formulaic exciting.
This was crash TV at its finest. No fucking clue what was about to happen.
And it was compelling for that reason, because much like Saturday Night Live has kind of gotten into its rut, whenever something goes wrong on Saturday Night Live, that sketch instantly becomes a whole lot more compelling, be it Lindsay Lohan breaking during the first Debbie Downer sketch, or Samuel L. Jackson dropping an F-bomb during What's Up With That. You know, that those things make me far more interested. And all I could think was, I want... I want to go back in time and do a 1999 Nitro segment with Ernest the Cat Miller and LeVar.
Yeah, Ernest Miller. Ernest Miller was great there towards the end.
Yeah.
Should bring him back to announce those Velocity matches. He was the star on Velocity. But also, first of all, SNL, the rut is over. SNL is back. Back. Oh, big time.
Well, I didn't mean the rut, but, it's very polished. It's very, the live aspect doesn't matter that much, really, for Saturday Night Live, except, like, what was the last sketch I saw that kind of fell off the rails a little bit? Oh, the Kate McKinnon and Ryan Gosling getting abducted by aliens.
Yes.
Sketch. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Kate McKinnon, Hall of Famer.
She's great.
Oh, she's great. Excellent. She is so good. LeVar Ball, by the way, I've seen a lot of criticism on this segment. Some of the criticism has been, oh, what are you guys having LeVar Ball on the show? Who is he? No one knows who he is. More people know who he is than know who almost anyone on the WWE roster is for the audience that they were targeting there. They were in Los Angeles. They were going to get a lot of coverage on the sports shows. Mm-hmm. They're not getting that coverage on the sports shows if they don't have LeVar Ball. It's just getting some eyeballs in there.
Well, this is where their pandering ideas went wrong, because look, LeVar Ball gets on these shows and just won't shut up. And we know that. And it's, and he's very pro wrestling. He's a carnival barker. He's Don King. That's what he does. He's very good at it. He's actually the Titus Brand turned up to 40. That's what he is.
Yeah. The best part of that segment, by the way, is when Dean Ambrose comes out. First of all, Dean Ambrose, go away for all time. Just go away. But Dean Ambrose comes out and LeVar Ball won't stop. Like, he's just staring a hole through Miz and he keeps going. LeVar Ball, the guy who theoretically backstage gave Dean Ambrose that t-shirt, doesn't give a shit about Dean Ambrose. Doesn't care that the segment's supposed to continue. Dean Ambrose comes out, can't say a word because LeVar Ball's still going at it. That was the best thing in the segment. I know it was a train wreck. This segment was amazing television.
I disagree. That's the best part. The best part of the segment was his kids marking out for him. I thought that was, it's like, you know what? They know that their father's an embarrassment, but they love watching him enjoy himself being an embarrassment. So there's something, there's a bond in that family that you just well, this is what I get. This is part of the package out here. This is Todd Marinovich's dad meets, Ringling Brothers. So, I didn't mind that. And even Dean's kind of like, I can't get a word in edgewise. I'm just going to go in. And they got them quickly off of television.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just assumed that they made the quick hook out there because Dean Ambrose was so bad. Anyway, Lonzo Ball, by the way, I hope this kid ends up being a Hall of Famer with the Lakers, because I want every single career retrospective 20 years from now for Lonzo Ball to start with this segment from WWE Raw.
He said, this is my first appearance as a Laker in the Staples Center.
I wanted to start with that video. When WWE doesn't exist anymore 20 years from now and everyone's watching total nonstop action, I want Lonzo Ball's segment on Raw. 2017, man. You got Cody Rhodes as the Ring of Honor World Champion. You got Chuck Taylor in Ring of Honor. You got LeVar Ball appearing in a segment on WWE Raw. You have Lindsay Dorado, a regular in WWE. You got New Japan Pro Wrestling working the United States. 2017 is a crazy year, man. And part of that, total nonstop action. Impact Wrestling is in its best financial state ever. Like, after 5 straight years of them potentially going down, they're all of a sudden now in their best financial state ever. This is a crazy year. Last year was a crazy year. This year, maybe a little bit more crazy.
And your next WWE pay-per-view is named after a 60-year-old song.
Headlined by Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe's the main event. Look at this this card, man. And we're going to get to the rest of Raw, because there was a pretty big main event on Raw. This card for Great Balls of Fire, this is not a brand splitty pay-per-view.
No, this is all hands on deck.
This is
Get
a legit
here.
WWE pay-per-view. Imagine if they had the SmackDown guys, if they had AJ Styles on the show, Randy Orton on the show. I mean, this is almost like a SummerSlam worthy card right now with just the Raw side. Roman and Braun ambulance match, Brock and Samoa Joe, Neville and Akira Tozawa, Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, big time singles match for the Raw women's title, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt. You're going to have a tag team title match on there. you're gonna have Finn Balor and whoever, who's he wrestling right now? The Drifter. Okay, that's a brand split pay-per-view match right there.
He is no longer the Drifter. He is Elias Samson.
He is just Elias Samson now. He is no longer the Drifter. He has stopped drifting. He has found a home. It is at WWE Raw events, just in the middle of the ring, playing guitar. Okay. This pay-per-view, and maybe Finn Balor, by the way, that match may be on the kickoff show.
This
card's so stacked, man. It could be. I mean, it could be your kickoff show match, Elias Samson versus Finn Balor.
I think they may put the Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they could do that too. They could do that too. This Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view, man. It is coming up July 9th. I mean, we're still a couple of weeks away. Dallas, Texas, big time city. I think it's going to do really well. I'm really wanting to see Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. I mean, they're promoting this match like it's going to be a collision of two bulls. Like the way.
And I want you to stop that because I don't want you to oversell it like the Women's Money in the Bank did, because there's every chance after that segment on Monday that they've built up Joe to the point where once Brock is in the ring with him, he runs right through him.
Yeah. The 2-minute match where Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar just catches him. Because they're promoting this now a little bit, like Samoa Joe has to sneak up behind Brock to get anything in.
Here's my thinking, is that they get Joe, this is the week that they make Brock show ass, so to speak. They get Joe in the ring,
how that would help. I mean, like, putting down his boxers? Like, what the hell? Brock Lesnar, like, just showing his butt? Like, where does that fit in? What a weird way to promote this match.
Let me finish my point, please.
You're going to finish on Brock's butt? What?
And then in the Braun match, which assumably may be next, you know, you have Brock kind of underestimate Braun. It all builds to that.
How the hell do you assume Braun Strowman is next for Brock?
I don't know.
All right.
I figure he wins the ambulance match.
Braun, I don't know if many people remember this. The last Roman Reigns Braun Strowman match was on pay-per-view. Braun won that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's happening again.
Okay.
I think Roman Reigns is done with this Braun Strowman fella in the ambulance. And I think there's a driver of the ambulance that steals Braun Strowman. There's going to be a theft. Not only is Braun driven away in the ambulance, but someone is kidnapping Braun Strowman. Don't think it'll be Bray Wyatt. Maybe someone else wants to kind of get in the Braun Strowman game. Braun Strowman's head. Who could it be? I don't know. Who could it be?
Are you really asking me?
Well, of course I'm not asking because it's ridiculous. Oh. But okay. I would love it. Because in 10 years ago, it would have been The Undertaker. Maybe 15 years ago. Like The Undertaker's just driving the ambulance. It's like Stephanie McMahon all over again. Just kidnaps Braun. Bronze raised on the cross, sacrificed for our sins. That would be WWE, man. I don't know. Maybe Paul London returns. Paul London's the driver of the ambulance. Well, that'd be pretty cool.
No, stop. Let's continue.
That'd be pretty cool, I think. Paul London and Braun Strowman's the tag team.
I've cut you off. Keep moving.
Think Braun Strowman's under 205?
I will kill you.
Think he might be able to be on 205 Live? I want to say something before we get to the rest of this Raw, too. I watched 205 Live tonight. You didn't because you were doing a radio show with Sean Ross Sapp.
Mm-hmm.
I watched 205 Live tonight the whole way. I watched SmackDown, I watched 205 Live. First time I've watched all 3 hours of that little block all live at the same time. I watched this 205 Live match, and this Drew Gulak versus Mustafa Ali match was so fucking great.
Yeah.
So fantastic. The whole story is built around how Drew Gulak doesn't want anyone to fly. And Mustafa Ali last week pinned Drew Gulak with a wrestling move, didn't fly. They build this long match. It's like 12 minutes long. They build this match around the sole point at the end where Drew Gulak is stuck on the top rope. And all of a sudden he's in the perfect situation to finally fly. Like he had Mustafa Ali earlier in the night say that Drew Gulak is scared of flying. He can't do it. And now all of a sudden he finds himself perched on the top rope. Is he willing to do a high risk move? Is he willing? Is he able to do a high risk move? This crowd who was silent for the entire match, because at this point it's 2.5 hours of WWE TV. There's no big stars. Who the hell is Mustafa Ali? Who the hell is Drew Gulak? They're watching this match doing nothing, but they know the story. They know the whole story is about Drew Gulak doesn't like flying, and now he's in the position where any other cruiserweight would go and fly at this point and win this match. And Drew Gulak, doing the shaky legs gimmick and everything, scared, saying his prayers as he goes up to the top rope, saying, you know, talking to himself, I can do this, I can do this. Goes off for a basic splash at the top rope. Can't hit it. He's going to be scarred for life. He's never going to be able to fly again. Mustafa Ali gets the cradle and the win all over again. This match was so good building up to this moment because when he goes to the top rope, that crowd is popping like crazy. They are into it. They are cheering Drew Gulak on. Go from the top rope, son. Do it.
His gimmick has been so good on 205. It's one of the more underappreciated angles
I never,
in the WWE yes, right now.
I never anticipated that anyone would give a single shit about Drew Gulak on WWE TV.
Drew Gulak, I have...
like, why was he even there?
I have critique. I found Catch Point dry with him leading it. I found, you know, I've watched PWG matches with Drew Gulak and Timothy Thatcher, and everybody tells me they're great, and I go, okay, they were all right. I found them a little stale, to be honest with you. I think he's been great in this run
as the anti-cruiserweight.
It is the perfect character for him. He has brought something extra to this role. He's bought into the bad comedy of it as well. It's really great.
It's not even that bad of a comedy. And honestly, the greatest sign that it's working so well and that he's getting through to these guys is Mustafa Ali is not high flying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally telling everyone, don't fly. It's a safe, you know, safer when your feet are on the ground. And guess what? The heel is getting this Mustafa Ali guy who has won all his matches with flying moves to not do any flying moves. Guess what? One, it tells you that Mustafa Ali's good. He doesn't have to fly to win matches. He's beating Drew Gulak without flying. But Drew's message may have a point. You can still win and not do high flying. They should ban top rope moves.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Watts.
They should ban them. You don't need them.
Bill Watts, circa 92, running the cruiserweight division. Yeah, that's what
we need. It's safer. Mm-hmm. You should ban all the top rope moves. In fact, you should ban cage matches, too.
Punjabi prison matches you should probably ban.
Punjabi prison match is coming back. That's not just a regular cage match. That's a double cage match.
Yes, with four doors in the second cage.
You gotta climb over like two different things. Stainless steel, not stainless steel, but what is it? Solid steel, bamboo. Well, it's solid steel covered in bamboo because they're admitting that it's steel in there. It's not just bamboo. It's bamboo reinforced with solid steel.
Yes. Are we moving on now? Are we done with Raw?
This main event, not only was Nia Jax a superhero, but you got Sasha Banks winning this thing. I mean, Nia Jax goes through everyone, including Emma. So sad. Are they punishing Emma for not being able to play Sable?
I think so. I think they've punished her. I think my favorite gif of this whole match was that Dana Brooke handspring where Nia just goes, I'm not having none of that. And then pins her. That was hilarious.
It's GIF, by the way.
Okay. I was trying to be correct about it.
Say GIF.
Bailey.
Is she officially a choke? Is she officially not a choke, but a bust in WWE? She's a bust. And she's done.
I'm not going to call that yet because, I found her Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast as we compelling, and they left a cliffhanger, and it's like, I don't know how to connect with this main roster audience, and her and Austin are apparently going to go over this next week, so I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
Yeah, sure. Oh, and she's not connecting, but I don't know. I asked on Twitter, who's to blame? Is someone to blame for this, or is it just not the right time? Because Bailey took a while to get over. Bailey was nobody, and she took a while to get over in NXT. She was the loser, the lovable loser, who finally got on a streak and kind of won some matches.
Yeah, she was the creepy hugger who eventually got over. Yeah.
Like, she was the fanboy, the fangirl, really. Yeah. She was in awe of everybody, and then she eventually became a wrestler. And now in Raw, she just comes in as this winner. And Bailey, the whole gimmick for Bailey was that she's not a winner right away. She can't be.
No. And her timing.
They should have just done the whole reset.
Yeah, her timing was bad because they brought her up in a panic move because of the Sasha injury from Charlotte. And so once Sasha came back much sooner than they thought, then they had two people that they were trying to decide what to do here. Because, I mean, if you remember that pop from Battleground last year where she was the mystery partner, she was over. Now you have people booing her and she is – She has verbally now stated she's frustrated by that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I would be too. But what can she do? I mean, what can she do that's any different? The whole character should have been reset. I understand that you build these guys up in NXT, and they're so well known in NXT that you can't just change their entire gimmick. I mean, you can't bring up. I know they've done it. You've done it with the Drifter here. The Drifter, who was by no means a big star in NXT, is the same gimmick here on WWE TV. I think they should have just had Bayley come up as a loser. Just lose every match. Not make it a big deal, but just let Bayley kind of gain her traction with the main audience organically. Well, it's too late now. You can't do that, but
yes, no, they should have probably brought her up. And then every woman on the roster does the whole, the main roster is different than NXT. You have to start over again. And then you go through that journey with her as she beats each successive star. And then you let Charlotte keep the streak and you crown Bayley at WrestleMania. That's how you would have done it.
This whole thing was done so opposite because you had Sasha Banks being the friend of Bayley as Bayley has the championship. And everyone was wondering, okay, is Sasha Banks going to turn on Bayley and eventually go for the title? You know, what would happen if Sasha Banks and Bayley wrestled for Bayley's championship? Sasha Banks should have been the champion. None of this back and forth stuff, especially now that Charlotte's gone. Mm-hmm. Give Sasha Banks the title, have her make a big run at it. Bayley starts to get her traction a little bit, starts winning matches against the Emmas, the Dana Brooks, and so on. And eventually you build up Bayley. What would happen if she got the title shot from her friend Sasha Banks? And maybe Sasha Banks gets a little nervous and starts healing out a little bit. And maybe the first match doesn't go Bayley's way because Sasha Banks turns full on heel. And then that's okay. Bayley lost the title match. Boo hoo. She can get back on track and now she knows better. Now she knows that Sasha Banks is not a true friend. Sasha Banks turns her back on people.
Right.
Will do anything to keep that title. And now all of a sudden you got this big, huge Bayley-Sasha Banks match. Will Bayley go in with a little bit meaner attitude? Will she not just let everyone push her over?
Yeah, and there was something you could have done with the kendo stick where it's like, I'm refusing to use this without making her look weak. You could have done...
That was so
something like
it was
that.
Just so lame because she had begged Kurt Angle to make it an Extreme Rules match.
Yes.
And she went in apparently not wondering, oh, what happens if I actually have to use the weapon? Like I just begged for this Extreme Rules match. And here I am not wanting to make it an Extreme Rules match. It was just so dumb.
I mean, she's been involved in distraction finishes, which makes her the heel. She's been not wanting to give up the belt, which makes her a heel. I mean, they've been doing all these things that for a white meat baby face should not be doing. The way to have rehabbed her, I think, would have been to send her over to SmackDown instead of Charlotte. I really do. I think that would have helped her quite a bit. And then you bring her back once you built her up over there. Because she could have done the journey on SmackDown after you sent her.
Could have done a lot of things. It's just so unbelievable. Yeah. It just is so unbelievable what they had with Bayley and what they've turned her into.
Yes, I agree. It's one of the great tragedies of WWE because it's like everybody else can see the potential except the people actually running the show. It's so weird.
Best Raw of the year?
Oh, wow. That's tough. No, you know what? The one after WrestleMania was pretty good. I think there was one towards the beginning of the year that I really, really liked, but it was close. I mean, I really, really did enjoy this, especially the beginning and the end. It was great. In the middle, there was a little, the Enzo Cassidy wasn't too badly done, I thought. I mean, they played it just the right amount where you were expecting, well, maybe they'll just save the actual turn for later, even though you knew Cass was going to turn eventually. They weren't just going to kiss and make up, but.
You have that match on Great Balls of Fire too, most
likely.
There you
go. That's the opening. There's the opening.
Oh, you don't put that on the pre-show.
Oh, sure you do.
It's a grudge match. They gave a main event slot to this feud and a prime slot on this Raw. This is not an opening match.
All right.
The Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys could be for the tag team titles. You could also have, I mean, hell, you got Anderson and Gallows who have nothing going on right now. Who else you got on Raw? Who else you got on the Raw tag team scene? The Revival work in the main event tapings. They're done.
Against Anderson and Gallows.
Oh, was that the match? Was that the match? I didn't pay attention to the opponents. Yes. Didn't pay attention to the opponents. So Carl Anderson said something because I didn't even realize they were on the main event tapings against the Revival. Because like Carl Anderson retweeted something on Twitter last night. Like, some fan just asking Anderson and Gallows, why weren't you guys on Raw tonight? And Anderson replied, we were in Japan. Well, LOL. I mean, good for him. Good for him. Speaking of Japan, Cody Rhodes, former WWE superstar Stardust, is going for the IWGP Championship against Kazuchika Okada here in a week. He is the Ring of Honor champion. It is Ring of Honor champion versus IWGP champion. What are the chances, Jeff? 1 to 10, 10 being high, 1 being low, that Cody Rhodes becomes the IWGP heavyweight champion of Earth.
Before they announced the blocks of New Japan or for the G1, I thought it was fairly high. Now I'm going the opposite way. I think it's probably about a 2 or 3.
Cody's not in the G1, is he?
No.
Yeah.
I thought they were going. I thought they were going to set up a race with Omega in one block and Okada in the other,
yeah.
where they're trying to compete to be the first one to take on Cody. But since they're both in the same block, I think it's relatively low. I think Okada is going to retain.
Yeah, because you have Okada and Kenny Omega in the same block. Kenny Omega, and they're going to do. They got a 30-minute time limit. They could do another 30-minute draw. They can have Omega win because of like an Okada injury that happens. So very interesting, but yeah, Cody Rhodes is the IWGP champ. Can't miss the entire tour. Can't miss the G1. So very interesting. I mean, it's an exciting match. There's a lot of people on both sides, people that strongly believe he'll win the IWGP title. Some people that strongly believe he will not. And yet another, not necessarily a laughing stock in this case, but a definite sign, you know, who's the boss. I mean, the IWGP champ beating the new Ring of Honor champ in the new Ring of Honor champ's first big match since winning the title.
Well, it depends how they beat him or how they get out of it. Cause I think you don't need to beat him clean.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that's not the biggest match of the weekend in New Japan that weekend. Billy Gunn and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
We've talked about this already.
Huge match. Mm-hmm. Huge. Mm-hmm. So excited for it. I think they go 60.
Oh, God. No. I think they'll go a strong 20. Just to show that the old man still has it.
You know what would make a really strong 20? If they did three of them. They're going 60. Billy Gunn. Maybe not all 60, maybe 59. Billy Gunn gets the pin in the 59th minute. Is there stoppage time in wrestling? Is there stoppage time?
No. That's soccer.
Okay. Soccer has the stoppage time. Do you know they
and
call
so
it?
So does baseball in many ways.
Oh, God.
Between pitchers and it's like, oh, Lord. They had a 3-hour and 56-minute game.
No, it was longer. It was longer than that, man. Ago. It was longer. It was like 4:14.
That Nationals yep. Cubs game, you gotta be kidding.
Oh, the Nationals Cubs. I thought you were talking about the Dodgers game, Mr. Los Angeles boy. They had 2 nights ago was the longest game in Dodger Stadium history for a 9-inning game, went over 4 hours.
Oh, I don't get Dodger games.
That's right. Dodger fans can't watch the Dodgers.
Right. Because of
Sportsnet
the dispute.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's been 3 years. Dodgers fans can't watch Dodgers games. Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, Vin Scully's not there anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Sadness. I miss it. I listen.
Charlie Steiner.
I tune in and it's Charlie Steiner. And even worse when it's not Charlie Steiner and it's the other guy with Nomar. Oh, disaster. Can't listen. I listen to the away feed. I can't listen to the other guy with Nomar. Can't do it. Anywho, Mauro Ranallo is back. He's returned to WWE.
Yes,
the new announcer of NXT. I mean, this was a thing that was announced. We talked about it last show, but he had his first appearance on those Friday tapings. Mauro Ranallo back in NXT. This is a perfect spot for him. Not only can he keep doing his other commitments, only has to come in once every month, basically, plus the takeovers, the big weekends. This is the type of wrestling and the fan base that watches NXT is perfect for all of his, you know, inane references. This is a perfect fit. This is how it should have happened from the beginning, from the start.
I absolutely love this move. And I think he and Nigel are a great team together. I'd get Percy the heck out of there.
Percy's got to go. Percy Watson and Dean Ambrose should be in the same car on the WWE ride along where they just don't stop driving.
And I, you know, I wonder why they didn't have him call the, well, I know why, but I think he'd be much better on this women's tournament than JR. I think JR, I mean, especially the way he's talked to female talent on his podcast gives me concern. We've discussed it multiple times. I think he's lost a bit on his fastball. I'm sure. And Lita's not the best partner for him either.
It's going to be a disaster of commentary.
This is a dreadful commentary.
I know people are freaking out because they're taping it in July and then not airing it until August, not starting the airing until August. And granted, it's not a lot of episodes. They're only airing what, like 6 episodes before the finals. It's not a lot of television, but they need that much time to kind of edit Jim Ross. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't even have Jim Ross calling that live. Like if they just set all the TV tapings and then, you know, how he does the New Japan shows is they just have him record it in a booth after the fact. I don't think it's going to be live.
No, I don't either.
I think he'll be there. I think that when they're taping the shows, Lita and Jim Ross will be there. But will the final finished product of commentary be all the stuff that was done live in the building? I don't think so.
And I think the blowback against Mauro over this move, I think it's a bit short-sighted. I don't have any problems with Mauro coming back. He's going to be calling wrestling, which he loves, and he's going to be able to do his other things.
What blowback has there been?
The whole thing about the bullying culture and how he had stood up, and now he's just crawling back. There was some blowback on the internet about Mauro and him kind of, I wouldn't say playing up the victim status, but...
Yeah, but did he ever play up the victim status? Because everything he did on Raw or on Twitter after this whole thing, he never said that he literally said that JBL was not the reason.
Right.
Like it wasn't WWE saying JBL wasn't involved. Mauro Ranallo was saying he was, and that was a bullying culture. There were a couple of tweets that were vaguely referencing, you know, people getting theirs in the end. But
there was also wrestling journalists kind of feeding. Well, but we really know the real story kind of thing.
Well, wrestling. I mean,
it was innuendo that it was JBL and Vince. So, I mean, it's not a major point with me. I'm just saying, I think we should be happy for them. Mauro gets an easier gig and he probably gets more money out of this, which is great for him.
Easier gig, sure. A gig he's more tailored to, but also it's not Vince. I mean, it's Triple H.
Yeah, it's more of a wrestling promotion too, rather than a sports entertainment one, so to speak.
It's more a wrestling promotion. I mean, have you seen what's happening lately? We're gonna get Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno.
Hyped.
That match is hyped. It's also a big match for both of these guys because their stock, ever since coming into WWE, both for Ohno and for Hideo Itami, both are maybe at their lows. I mean, now, I mean, they're both at their lows. Hideo Itami getting a little bit more back up there, but Cassius Ohno came in with a lot of fanfare at being a wrestler of the year, basically, in 2016, and he has done absolutely nothing. A couple of good matches,
That black match. That black match was a lot
The Aleister Black match, fantastic. Made Aleister Black look like a guy who belonged in wrestling. It was an interesting match and an interesting year that Cassius Ohno was having. But if they wrestle at a takeover, this Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno, they could tear the house down.
Oh yeah,
could be the best.
And
match.
I'm looking forward. I mean, tomorrow to the Asuka Nikki Cross match. I really am.
NXT getting a little WWE-ish though, when you're pushing a Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre main event scene.
Oh yeah, but you know it's a developmental territory for the WWE, so they're gonna do some things in WWE style.
Yeah, it's a third brand now, though. And this third brand is getting headlined by Impact Wrestling Mid-Carders.
Are you really going to gloss over SmackDown tonight?
No, I just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
The next 17 topics on my list are SmackDown.
Rob, the fact that we had to backtrack tomorrow in NXT because you weren't here last week. I just, you know, we went over this on the show.
I don't know what you mean. There was no show last week. There was no show. This is Shake Them Ropes episode 216 again.
I'd like to apologize to Steve Kaufman for him not existing in Rob's mind.
can follow us on Twitter at ShakeThemRopes. Follow Jeff at CrapGame13. If you haven't done so already, go to iTunes right now, search Shake Them Ropes, leave us a rating and review. Tell us some nice things. Tell us some mean things if you want. Just hurt my feelings. I'll quit this show right now, damn it. Jeff has had to talk me off the ledge the last couple of weeks.
Oh, come on, man.
VoicesOfWrestling.com/STR is where you go if you want to get archives of the show. And yeah, that is what you do. Go there now. Subscribe. It's free. It's a free podcast for now.
You get what you pay for.
Oh, God. We're here. We're loving it. So we talked about Raw, the women main evented. NXT this week is going to have Nikki Cross and Asuka in a last woman standing match. And of course, on SmackDown was the rematch of the first ever historic women's Money in the Bank match. And the result was very similar. We had Carmella getting the win. Carmella is the Money in the Bank winner. So she has solidified her title. I hope she gets two title shots. She should carry around two briefcases. I mean, she was robbed by Daniel Bryan and she won it back. No.
She should call herself the two-time Money in the Bank champ.
Oh, she should. She should.
Oh, that would be...
More important than winning the title. She won Money in the Bank twice in a row. In two weeks.
Let me tell you something. Carmella was fantastic tonight.
So great.
In that beginning promo, I loved it. She's gotten that kind of Alexa Bliss confidence going. Now that they kind of have confidence in her, I mean, she is out there controlling that crowd. The promo tonight was great. It was properly paced. James Ellsworth is magic. That spot tonight where he's getting thrown out and tries to jump the rail and then lands flat flush on it. Fantastic. And yeah, you know, I mean, I said this on the show last week that you weren't on. You have to do, and I think I said even 2 weeks beforehand, maybe, or no, you never gave Money in the Bank thoughts. You have to do the same thing over again. You have to give the briefcase to Carmella, and they did. And I thought it was
the right call.
I didn't like the match as much as the first one. I liked certain people in the match more. I liked Becky Lynch more in this match, but I thought some of the spots were a little bit too clever by half, where you had to have people waiting, or you had to have Tamina move under a ladder,
or you just had to have Tamina in there anyway, at all. I mean, Tamina was a disaster.
No, she was not a disaster.
So bad. Just so bad.
She wasn't the best, but she wasn't that so bad. My favorite spot in the match tonight was, I love the slap fight between Natty and Charlotte. That thing, I mean, you could tell that there was some sauce on one of those, because
there was some piss it looked like
Charlotte broke into tears after getting slapped. That way, I was like, wow.
Yeah, she probably, her feelings were hurt. I mean, my God, Natalia slapping me so hard.
Yes, we were
once friends.
Her feelings
were hurt. I don't know. My feelings would be if I got slapped in the face.
I'd like to slap you in the face right now.
I know, and my feelings would be hurt. I'd cry. I would cry, son. Yeah, that's what would happen. I would cry. It sucked.
No, I enjoyed that. I mean, but that was great. The Fashion Police tonight was great.
Fashion Police, fantastic. Ascension, fantastic, by the way. I mean, if I was offered free tickets to Eddie Money, I'd take them too.
I have a sad Eddie Money story. Unfortunately, when I worked at Universal, they were selling tickets to Eddie Money at the amphitheater, and he couldn't get anybody to buy them, to the point where they put it in one of the theme park auditoriums for free. So people had to come see Eddie Money. Yeah, that was just wrong. But yeah, no, I liked the sketch. I thought the jokes were solid. But it does seem, and I'll throw this to you, seems like they killed that, both the Hype Brothers and Lana, one fell swoop.
It's certainly like they were killing Lana there. I don't know necessarily about the Hype Bros being killed per se. And the story is New Day and the Usos to keep the Hype Bros up on the top level, and then we'll see what happens when they come back. Everything is cyclical. When they're ready for the Hype Bros to get a tag title shot, they'll win a match on SmackDown and they'll challenge for the tag team titles again. That's what happens.
What are the chances that the Hype Bros or American Alpha trashed the Fashion Police office, and it's not just going to be some reveal like it's Michael Hayes?
Well, I hope it's not Michael Hayes. I was wondering, like, could it possibly be American Alpha at some point?
Right.
But you're turning him heel. And that, I was trying to think, okay, is there anyone on like NXT that would possibly be doing this? Like is Tino Sabatelli just ready for the primetime slot and he's just trashing the Fashion Police locker room?
You need to stop wish casting. That's not happening.
I mean, I don't think that's happening, but it could. There's a 28% chance that that's Tino Sabatelli. All right, fine. 34%. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now my prime suspects would be, I didn't think it was the Ascension. Like the Ascension, it was so funny when they had the match because I did not think that would be it. And then they play it off tonight like Ascension just won their match on the card because, yeah, why not? I mean, if you're getting an open challenge on the card and you're not booked, hell yeah, go out there and wrestle a match. But that was cool that they were never the ones trashing the locker room. It was always someone else. Just those other people didn't show up. It could be American Alpha. It could be American Alpha. I don't know who else
although,
it would be.
Although after the Gable match last week, I don't think it can be anymore. Yeah. I don't think they could do that anymore because they did the whole up-and-coming babyface still looks good in defeat. I don't think they're going
to
do it.
And I mean, I really don't want it to be the Colognes. So I don't know who else it is. I mean, is it possible? Do you bring over the Revival?
That's what, yeah. I mean, that you say free agents because of whatever, and you make it the Revival. That's very possible because they'd want to use them also to help get over American Alpha. So
because yeah, Revival had the debut on Raw. Like it could have easily been that they were brought in, but never actually signed. And they haven't really appeared on Raw in a little while. And whether they're traded, whatever, they just appear on SmackDown. Cause I don't know who else it could be.
Or they followed the New Day over to SmackDown and been kind of lying in the weeds the whole time.
Yeah.
Although even though they broke up that Brock fight.
That's all right. They could have just been theirs fans and happened to be called upon to break up those two behemoths twice now they've done that.
Into the latter half of the question, is Lana gone from this women's division, or is this going to be used to now build her up to try and?
She should have never been in the women's division.
It's just going to be the Bayley story positing over on Raw, where she has to win over the credibility of the division, or is it just back to Rusev? It's over.
Back to
Carmella's,
Rusev.
Carmella's going to be our honky tonk man.
They are both a better act when they are together. If you want a better act on your television show, you put them together. Should Lana be in the women's division? No. And where do you go from here if you just lost twice to Naomi in pretty distinct fashion? No, I don't think she's in this women. Do I see Lana wrestling Becky Lynch every once in a while on SmackDown? Do you see Lana just having a one-on-one with Tamina? Come on.
I mean, is this the Eva Marie write-off we never got?
I don't think they're writing her off. I think, is she done as an active wrestler? Probably.
As an active wrestler. That's what I meant. Yes. Yeah.
But, and that's fine. And it's not so much Lana going back to Rusev. I mean, for fuck's sake, it's really Rusev going back to Lana. Because Lana is what makes that act popular with the fans. Because Rusev's great. We love Rusev on the mic. By himself, he's nothing special compared to what they are together. Okay? So yes. Lana and Rusev should be a tandem. They should be.
What are you talking about? The League of Nations was fantastic.
No, it was absolutely not. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm trolling you.
Absolutely not, LaVar Ball. It was no good whatsoever. Look,
there's two people that are better than me, and they're both me.
And they're both me. Hey, the crowd laughed. He got a pop with that one.
I laughed.
Crowd went, I bet you did. I bet you did. And why wouldn't you have? Superstar LaVar Ball. You think he comes back? You think he ever makes another appearance on WWE TV?
Oh, I think I'm hoping that there is hidden camera footage of Vince McMahon watching that.
There's no way
and
he ever watch,
and just watching him throw things as this thing goes off the rails.
He was throwing things. His son is out there expletting it up. I mean, he's taking his shirt off. He's talking over everybody. He had no idea what was happening. That segment with LaVar Ball, and hey, it had the desired effect too, because they got a lot of eyeballs. They got a lot of people talking about LaVar Ball on WWE today. You know, offices everywhere. People
who
you didn't
even
know.
Hold on. Did Colin Cowherd get like a 0.1 rating off of the
LaVar Ball? Cowherd may have broken above the 50,000 viewer mark.
Oh, nice.
It's quite possible. You had Skip Bayless talking about it all day long. Actually, I don't know that, because who the hell watches Skip Bayless these days? A lot of people talking. I know Lebatard, you know, the ESPN radio guys, talking about it for 3 straight hours. That got a lot of talk about WWE. A lot of eyeballs for what was a relatively harmless 10-minute segment.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they were bringing him in, calling him like Michael Jordan. I mean, this wasn't big-time celebrity yet. It's like LeVar Ball's here. And he brought his son, who was the number 2 pick in the NBA draft. It's not a bad get.
No.
It's not a bad get at all.
You know what? And the cloying, pandering thinking of he'll be over in Los Angeles because they'll love him here. It's not a bad idea. It's just kind of short-sighted.
It's not even that he would be over in Los Angeles. He would just get a lot of mentions, a lot of eyeballs on him. And that absolutely worked. Absolutely worked. Big week next week. Next week on the show, we're going to talk about this pay-per-view, this Great Balls of Fire. We're going to do the rundown, probably a couple of matches being added. We'll find out what the pre-show match is. We'll find out if Finn Balor is going to be on the show and if he's wrestling the Drifter and if the Drifter is Elias Sampson, if Elias Sampson's going to win that match. Talk about it all. Talk about it all. I want to close out some of the polls. We had a couple of polls last week. Do you miss John Cena? And you can get our polls at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. Do you miss John Cena? Jeff Hawkins, 63% of the audience misses John Cena. Do you miss John Cena?
I miss Big Match John. I don't miss Week to Week John.
Big Match John, do you think that's what we'll get for the next, what do we say, about 4 months before he goes away again? Are we getting Big Match John on SmackDown or Raw?
I think we're getting him next week on Big Match, yeah.
Oh, next week. Could John Cena be who's next for Braun Strowman? What kind of SummerSlam match would that be, Jeff? Braun and John?
Yeah, or Roman and John.
I mean, I'm not going to lie here. I'm going to have to change the old underwear after this one. Saying those words, John versus Braun. That's how you market the match. Just have John Cena go out on Raw. Say one word, Braun. Have Braun come out. And instead of, I'm not finished with you yet, I haven't started with you yet. That's all he has to say. And then you promote it. John versus Braun. SummerSlam. I mean, you're going to have 15 million buys for the WWE Network with that match.
Okay.
Oh, so hyped. So hyped, and it's not even going to happen. And if it does, so hyped even more. Oh, my God. That's great. Do you miss John Cena? 63% of the audience says yes. Hyped for Punjabi Prison. Announced tonight on SmackDown. Broken by WrestleWords last week, a couple weeks ago. Punjabi Prison returns. Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal, the heavyweight champion.
What's the percentages on that?
58% of the audience, Jeff, is hyped for Punjabi Prison.
They're all being ironic, all of them. They can't be that hyped for this match. They can't. It's the second worst stipulation match in WWE history next to the Kennel one.
You know what I wish they brought back? The Scramble match.
Okay.
I wish they brought back Scramble.
Mm.
I do. And our final poll question. How many times will Mike Kanellis defeat Sami Zayn on WWE TV and pay-per-view in 2017? We have a tie, Jeff. 32% of the audience said that Mike Kanellis will beat Sami Zayn 8 or more times.
Whoa.
And 32% also said he will beat Sami Zayn 1 to 3 times. I did not specify if it would be singles matches, tag matches, whatever.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there's going to be more than 8 matches on TV and pay-per-view in the next 6 months where Mike Kanellis and Sami Zayn will be on opposite sides. Eight and higher is kind of a lot. I mean, if you were counting house shows, sure, maybe that he beats Sami Zayn more than 8 times. On TV, that's a lot. But we got the seedlings of the feud tonight on SmackDown. With Sami Zayn interrupting the Power of Love entrance, Mike Kanellis is going to beat Sami Zayn a lot this year.
Yes, he is.
He's going to beat him a lot, and people are going to cry like Sami Zayn. I mean, this guy just loses every single time. And I bet he's going to lose a feud going like 0 for 3 against Mike Kanellis, and the next week he'll be in a title match somehow, because that's what Sami Zayn does. He loses matches and wrestles upwards in title matches.
Mm-hmm. Whenever somebody needs to beat somebody for credibility, Sami Zayn's always that guy.
One day he's just gonna he'll literally lose a match for the title and be the champion. That's the trajectory we're on. Like, he's going to lose the match. It's going to be one of those stipulations where if someone gets DQ'd, like, they lose the title or whatever. I don't know. He's just going to lose the match for the title.
He looks like a paperboy, damn it. He can't be our champion.
Looks like a paper bill. If this were 1960, he'd be delivering milk somewhere.
Mm.
That's what we see. So we're not going to do it this week. We're not going to do it this week, but we are going to start it next week. Jeff, did you watch the first episode of GLOW?
I did. I thought we were doing it this
week.
Well,
I thought we might too, but then you said that you hadn't watched it yet, and I was getting a little nervous, and we've had quite the show so far. And I want to give us...
is that what this is?
I want to give it time. Yeah, I did start recording. We have had a show. I want to give it a little time. Okay. Keep watching the show. I am 5 episodes in. It is a 10-episode season. I am 5 episodes in. If you don't know what we're talking about, GLOW, the new Netflix original starring Alison Brie and Marc Maron, gorgeous ladies of wrestling. It's a drama. It's a comedy. It's a love triangle. It's got a little mix of everything. Action-packed. Alex Riley, starring role for 5 minutes in one episode.
Nudity.
Nudity. Alison Brie, nude all over the place. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? But this show, we are going to start talking about it. Should we do week by week? Like, do we want to go full review episode by episode?
I defer to you as the producer / host / person whose idea it was. I have no problem going episode by episode and just kind of giving the rundown and kind of our thoughts. We can't judge this as a wrestling show.
Well, it's not a wrestling show. This is a comedy, but it's about them creating a TV show. That TV show happens to be the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
I will ask you this as a teaser, while we decide how we're going to do that. Maybe you should make that a poll. Because that's actually relevant to our show.
Well, that wouldn't be fun then.
No, you're right. So you're 5 episodes in. I've had 1 episode. Has your enjoyment increased or decreased over the 5 episodes, or has it been kind of a roller coaster for you in terms of
it goes up every episode? So what's happening is my fiance and I started watching the show. I was like, hey, this new Netflix show, GLOW, you want to watch it? Because we just finished Jane the Virgin. Very sad. We were all cut up on Jane. No more episodes for a year. Devastated. So I was like, GLOW's on. Let's watch GLOW. It's got the girl from Community. It's got the girl from Mad Men.
I have never watched an episode of Community.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I know. Well, it's a Dan Harmon thing, but nevertheless.
So this is how I pitch it to her. Like, it's got the girl from Mad Men and the girl from Community, and it's produced by the woman who is behind Orange is the New Black and Weeds. Okay.
Yeah. Jenji Cohen.
Yeah. So this is how I pitch it to her. I'm not saying names. She doesn't know any names. No one knows these names. I'm just filling, what's going on?
I'm filling in blanks for the audience who are listening. Yeah, I'm doing your story. You continue.
You do that. So I'm like, let's watch GLOW. We watched one episode. I'm a little nervous. I don't think she's going to like it. She's not a big fan of the whole wrestling thing. And she's not really a fan of like comedies on TV either. So I'm like going in double, like, this is not going to work. She doesn't like comedy.
Hold on. What does she like?
She watches originals.
Okay.
And the other vampire show about the diaries where they like read each other's diaries.
She likes fantasy stuff then. She likes vampires and magic and...
Nothing wrong with that. People like those things. Okay.
All right.
People like those
things. No, I'm just trying to read your woman a little. All right, continue.
If there is a teenager who happens to be a mom... that's followed around by cameras. She'll watch that.
Oh, is she a reality fan?
She'll watch her mom.
And that came out more dismissive than I intended, but nevertheless. Yeah,
that was very dismissive.
Oh, that was very dismissive.
Very dismissive.
That's the kind of thing where shows break up because you said something about the guy's wife.
How dare you?
I have friends who work in reality TV too. So she likes those types. Okay. She likes the crash aspects of that stuff then. The Real Housewives, you know, they get in a fight and they get drunk and then they cry later. That kind of crap.
I should get her in here when we review GLOW. She should be a part of our GLOW reviews.
Good. She can buffer my opinions.
Don't finish that sentence. You're very dangerous territory.
I know.
She ain't buffering any of your shit, Jeff. How dare you? Anyway, so we watched this episode. We watched the first episode. And boy, first of all, the show goes super quick. It's like 30 to 40 minutes long each episode. Mm-hmm. Goes super quick. All right. Very, very quickly. Now, we watched this episode. And there's a cliffhanger. Cliffhanger on like every episode. It's great so far. I've watched like five. It's funny. It's smart. There are a lot of cringe aspects. Like, I can't believe this is happening.
A lot of pathos in the comedy.
Oh, it is. Alison Brie. I'm a fan of Community. I'm a fan. Mad Men, she was like such a side character that she didn't really matter on the show. Okay. And she's done some movies here and there. This is her first, as far as I know, this is the first thing where she's really like the main star of a television program. And this is a comedy, but she is not really the funny one. She is doing.
No, she's a straight man. She's a straight man. You know what she is? She is Tina Fey. At least after one episode, that's how I'm viewing this kind of. She's a Tina Fey type character.
But even
in that she gets insulted for not being pretty, which is preposterous in so many ways. Anywho.
Not being funny, taking everything too seriously. And that's the thing. She is such a tryhard on the show.
And she is almost, I mean, she is half the actresses I know in LA, which makes this very true to life to me. So yes.
But this show, I will tell you, without going into reviews of every episode, without going into details, because we'll do that on future episodes. We will start with Glow episode one next week. This show is more than worth a watch. If you have Netflix, you should be watching this show. And you should be trying. If you have significant others out there, ladies out there, men out there, if you have significant others who aren't wrestling fans, does not matter. They will still like this show. This is not a pro wrestling show.
How many name drops do I get per episode?
I mean, I know you're going to give them anyway, so I will give you 0.5. You get 0.5 name drops. You can only say a first or a last name.
Okay.
Can't even say the full name. Can't do it. But it is worth a watch. So follow along with us. We will talk next week in our Great Balls of Fire preview show. Which I don't know when on earth it's going to record, because Tuesday is July 4th. I won't be around. We'll have to figure out a day to record this episode next week. Watch Glow with us. We will be going over the next 10 weeks talking about the series of Glow and its cast and its characters.
I'm setting some rules for you, though.
Uh-oh.
You can't spoil stuff for me, because I'm going week by week.
I will not spoil. I have been very careful. I have not spoiled anything. Okay. I don't think I've spoiled anything yet. We will not spoil. All right. We will talk about that episode, and you can talk about what you expect to happen in the future. Because honestly, by the time we get to episode two, I will have watched them all.
Yes.
I will not.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it the way that the listeners possibly are doing it. I'm going week one, episode one, week two, episode two. And this way I get to keep you for at least 10 more episodes.
That's right. That's right. I'm stuck. Yes. I'm stuck for 10 more episodes. When John Cena leaves again, split.
Oh, I'm sorry. You remember what you did to me to keep me on the show? You gave me 100 matches. So don't give me
How did that work?
It was great.
And it was the worst decision I ever made.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.